clean. All the secrets he has kept from her so long are finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought, just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything it does. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. That's the beauty of the blood.
Thank you, Meredith, for singing that. Thank you, Sister Kirsten. I tell you, there's a few songs that will take you through like the emotional gamut, you know, the smorgasbord, and that's one of them. I just am so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. It has made all the difference in my life. A lot of people give up on you. Mother's love is very strong. Sometimes even a good mother will give up on you. Not saying she should, I'm just saying it sometimes. But I'm glad God never gives up on us. Never. God never gave up on me. Never. I stand before you today as a trophy of God's grace. I can say with the man who penned what was read before you, for to me to live is Christ. That man said in another place under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
Grace alone, brethren.
Yeah.
Grace alone. The beauty of the blood.
Amen.
A lot of religion, man-made, just cutting out the blood and doing away with it, say it's offensive. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. What a difference the blood of Jesus makes.
Amen.
Those of you who the blood of Jesus has had a part in your life, you know what I speak of. If you're here today and you don't, I pray that you would know. The words of that song, very moving, very touching, because they're based upon the truths of God's Word, of how the blood of Jesus can absolutely change your life. And I'm glad that I've allowed it to change mine. How about you?
Amen.
How about you? You know anything about that? You know what it means to stand before God redeemed? Redeemed, justified. Thank the Lord for that wonderful, wonderful position that He's given us in Himself. Well, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Not long ago, we went through the book of Philippians, and I spoke to you verse by verse on these verses. And as I was reflecting, times passed, and then looking forward to this moment, on this day, about what this particular weekend and really Monday stands for as Memorial Day, I thought about things that are worth living for. And as I began to search my own heart, I could clearly see that the things that are worth living for matched in my heart the things that were worth dying for. I'm not saying that it would be so in your life, in your heart. I don't know. But I ask you to consider that. In your own heart, it's not something that you write on a piece of paper, you put up on the big board, or you make known to everyone. I think it's something that you do. It's not something merely that you believe. It's something that you do with your life. You're willing to invest, to spend, to burn out with a passion that you're willing to die for. What are you investing your life in? What's at the top of the board? What really means something to us? We live in a society where people are just engrossing and investing and throwing themselves into things. And there's certainly nothing wrong with things in and of themselves, but I'm not so sure that many of these things that are dominating our lives and that are captivating our attention and that are really causing us to spend our resources of time and energy, I'm not so sure that they're worth dying for. I know they're not for me, but I can't say for you. And so I had to search my heart. What am I really willing to die for? I mean, I'm not talking about cheap talk. I'm not talking about things that you just say and, I'd die for this. To die for. It's become kind of a catchphrase. Oh, that's to die for. Well, is it? Is it? What would you die for? I know there was a young man, and young people, I have you in here for a particular purpose, and it's because I want you to realize that the real true things in life that are worth living for, you better be prepared to die for them. And if you're not willing to die for them, I'm not sure that you will be willing to live for them. Here was a man who made a statement. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, listen, I've got all this settled. I've got it figured out. I met this Christ on the road to Damascus. I met him. He changed my life. He changed my life. When I thought about the breaking down of this scripture and going verse by verse, I couldn't get past the first thought that God gave me in my heart. Who wrote this? And that's what I want to talk to you about. Not what he wrote. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what he wrote, we will look at, the Lord willing, tonight. And it is packed with wonderful truth that is life-changing. Ultimately, what the apostle was saying is, listen, I'm willing to live for Christ because I'm willing to die for him. And that he did. He died for him. He said, I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. They're coming to get me. But I have no regrets. I have no complaints. Brethren, can I tell you, there's not one person in heaven today, not one, that's saying, oh, I died too soon. If only I would have just got to see this or do that in life. They're just so glad they're in heaven. They're just so glad they burned their life out for Jesus. They're just so thankful to finally to have arrived at their final and full reward. It's going to be the same for you and I one day. If we invest in the right life. Here's a man that had such a conviction that when he was getting ready to give his life as an offering for his faith, and he wrote a young man by the name of Timothy, and you can read it sometime, and you're here when you're in your study or in your private time, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writing, he didn't say, Timothy, come down here and stand for me. They're going to kill me. Timothy, save me, Timothy. He said, just bring the books and bring me my Bible. We'll do a little studying for a check out of here. Amen. Read it sometime. Gets a little cold and damp down here in this dungeon. Bring me a coat and you know, just come see me. I'd like to see you one more time on this side of eternity. He wasn't complaining, and you know, so many today, they get to the end of their life, if you want to call it that, and they say, oh, if I just regret I didn't get to see the Grand Canyon. Now listen, if you've seen the Grand Canyon, I'm not throwing off on you, okay? I'm not. I'm just saying that if we're not careful, life can be so misguided and it can be so mislived to where we miss it. We miss it. We invest our time and our money and our energy in things that really one day will mean nothing. What are you willing to die for? A young man by the name of David. I thought about him when I was thinking of this man, Paul. Pastor David spoke about it yesterday in our men's meeting. And by the way, I had a wonderful time at the men's retreat. Those of you that were there, say amen. Amen. Great time. Great time. Just a good time of fellowship and activity, recreation. And we heard a good devotion. Pastor David gave a great devotion on leadership. And he spoke about David. And I thought about this when I thought about this passage of scripture here. He said, is there not a cause? You know, when you really study that, there's three things, and it's the same three things that Paul said. It's the three things that I came up with. David said, you know, there's some things worth fighting and even dying for. Your family. David's brothers were up there. David's brothers were up there that giant was calling out. You know, I believe your family's worth dying for. So I don't believe you. Don't try me. I believe I am in a congregation of people who share that same conviction. Your family's important. It's a gift from God. It's something that ought to mean something to you. And especially as the man, as the leader of my home, I want to protect my family. I feel like that's my responsibility. It's a God-given responsibility. And I think many, many of men would say, I'm willing to die for my family. I'll say I think there's many ladies feel the same way. Mother of my children. Listen, you mess with mama. I mean, listen, you mess with mama's children, you in trouble. It's something that means something. And I believe in my heart now, I would be willing to die for my family. Then I thought about my freedom. You know, what good's your family? And I think about this. I've been reading and it's terrible. The Holocaust and the things that these people endured. It's so dark. And I've been reading about some of the events that took place and some of the atrocities that happened, and it just moves me. It helps me to understand how good I've got it, how blessed I am. I'm thankful that there were some men who said, we're not going to allow this tyrant, this demon-possessed egomaniac, to take over the world and to treat all people that way. And so they stood in the face of death and they fought for freedom. Thank God for that. We're reaping the benefits of it. Amen. We ought not take it for granted. Amen. I don't believe every war was worth the fighting. We can, as President Reagan said many years ago, we can debate that at another time. But right now, I'm telling you that we enjoy freedom, and I thank God for it. And I believe in the core of my being, I'd be willing to die for it. I believe that. Because I'm not one of those old founders who said, give me liberty or give me death. What good is life if you're a slave? What good is life if you do not have liberty? If you're under the oppression of another. That's why I'm glad that slavery was abolished. Amen. Amen. By the way, it's been abolished spiritually too, but some people haven't heard. Some people haven't taken advantage of the spiritual emancipation of proclamation, and they have not come to Christ that they might be free. But I believe I'd be willing to die for my family, for my freedom, and then the final thing, for my faith. Now, I believe I would. I believe that I have that in the core of my being. I believe it's part of the character and the chemical makeup of my soul. I don't know. I may be called upon to put to task in those areas. I'm not sure. But if I am, I hope that I would have what it would take to stand for at least these three areas in my life. By the way, those three areas of my life that I say that I'd be willing to die for, as I began to evaluate them, they make up the biggest part of my life. I'm very pro-family. I'm very involved in my family. My family is right at the top of the list in my life. I thank God for my country and the freedoms that I enjoy. And I can say with young David many years ago, is there not a cause? It means something to me. I cast my vote as a citizen of my country because I want to ensure that freedoms and liberties are carried forth and that the right people are in office. You say, well, you know, we don't always get our way. We don't, and that's just part of life in every area of life. But it doesn't stop us from doing what is right and fulfilling our responsibility and obligation. Amen? So what about this man? David. Let me say one more word about him. His family, his freedom. He, you know, the Philistine was down there. Well, I tell you what, you send out a man, we'll send out a man, and if we beat you, you serve us. If you beat us, we'll serve you. David said, I don't want anything like that. I don't want anything to do with that. Amen? I don't want anything to do with that. And you shouldn't either. But then the thing that really got on to David really gets into Paul, and it really challenged my heart. And he says, you know, you're defying my God. You're defying the God of Israel. Is there not a cause? Now here's Paul. Think about this man just for a moment, okay? Here's a man that thought he had his cause for life. The man who wrote this, look at it again there in Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. That's my life. and to die is gain. Now, if you'll read Philippians 1 sometime, and we went through this in detail, you'll find there's two major things that Paul said life should be about. And I, brethren, I'm here to tell you this is where it's at. This is the key. Knowing Christ and making Him known. This ought to really occupy our life. It ought to be what our life, it ought to define our life. You see, we've gotten to the place where we think that our work defines our life. You can still know Christ and make Him known. He can still be the purpose of your life. You say, well, I'm a doctor. Thank God for that. Be a doctor for Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm a lawyer. That's okay. Be a lawyer for Jesus. You say, well, I'm a lawyer for the firm. Be a lawyer for heaven. Well, I'm just a pipe fitter. We were talking about this in Sunday school. I'm just a pipe fitter or a lawnmower operator or a painter. Well, you know what? Be one for Jesus. Be one for Jesus. See, we've taken this thing wrong. When we go and leave our homes to go to work, we think we're going to work for the man. You know, well, we're going down there to work for that company, going to put in our 8 or our 10. Hey, listen, do it for Jesus. It'll take a whole different light. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And I don't think he was excluding his tent making in that. You see, Paul had gotten to the place in his life where he realized all that I do and all that I am, it's because I belong to him. It's because I belong to him. His blood made a difference in my life. He changed my life. And I refuse to let anything take his place on the throne of my heart. Amen. That was Paul's place. That's why a man could sit down and the Holy Ghost could work on him and work in his heart and say, write it, Paul. And he wrote it without flinching. For to me to live is Christ. He meant it, brethren. It wasn't just a plaque on a wall. It wasn't just a piece of the conversation. It was the conviction of his heart. He meant it. He meant it. God help me to get in verse 21. God help me get there. Amen. You know what happened? I'm not going to go in detail with you, but I began to run references, and the Spirit of God began to take me to places in the Bible, and I began to think about this man. He was committed to killing Christians. He hated Jesus. You know the story. He said of his own testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, who was before a blasphemer. I was injurious. He said, I was insolent. He said, I done all that I could. I persecuted the church of Jesus. But then one day the blood made all the difference.
Amen. Amen.
Changed my life.
Amen.
And I've never gotten over it. Everywhere Paul went, he would tell them, I was on the road to Damascus. There was this bright light, brighter than the noonday sun. And I heard this voice. And it said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why kickest thou against the pricks? God changed this man. Just like God changes every person that's washed in his blood. Paul never got over it. He never got over the beauty of the blood. Wonders of the cross and of his love. He never got over it. He lived his life and he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every time Paul met somebody, doesn't matter. Listen, you think about this. God led me to these scriptures and I could have you turn there, but I want you to run the references. I want you to see. Think about this now. It wouldn't matter if it was he met Elymas. Remember the sorcerer? Remember? He met him. You know what he told him? You're bankrupt. You have no power here. You're bankrupt. I done met him that has all power. You have no power. You're bankrupt. Then he met this woman who had great wealth. She was a seller of purple. You know what he told her? You're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. Oh, but I have money. I'm a seller of purple. I'm doing just well. No, you're bankrupt. Then he met a little girl who these masters were controlling her life and she was bringing them in money and they had her really in slavery through the art of divination. And you know what he told her? You're bankrupt. That's what you are. You're bankrupt. And
It didn't matter where Paul went or who he met. That's the way he viewed people. If you do not know Jesus, if you do not know him that has made it all, if you do not know him who controls it all, you're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. And so we have people now who are born into this world, and they go through life, and they work, and they work, and they toil, and they labor, and they try to do this, and they try to get that, and try to add, and we're being brainwashed. We're being coached and even trained by commercialism and media and leadership, and yes, even some churches. Go out there and grab the worm by the tail and get all the gusto and get all you can and live the happy, comfortable, joyful life. You'll never do it without Christ.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
It's all dung.
Right.
You say, right. Preacher, you shouldn't say such a thing. I'm just telling you what this man that just wrote, "For to me to live is Christ," said.
Right.
You're bankrupt.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of people filling our churches bankrupt.
Yeah.
And they're wanting a little joy, a little happiness. Preacher, say something that'll make me feel better. Preacher, do something. Put on a show. Sing a song. Entertain us so we can feel like we belong and we are a part and that we have more than what we have. What can we do? Go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Get to him as fast as you can. Get to him as fast as you can. Run to Jesus. That's where it's at. You say, "Preacher, that's kind of simple." I'm glad God made it that way.
Right.
Say, "Well, we want something deep. We want something, listen, profound." Well, there's plenty of deep and profound in this book, and we've looked at some of it before. We'll look at some of it again. But for this morning, I'm here to tell you that the man who said, "For to me to live is Christ," is saying to every one of us, when you begin to live for that, then you are ready to die for something. But until you do, you're not. You tell yourself anything you want to. But until you get to the place to where you say, "I'm willing to live for it," you're not willing to die for it. See, they didn't go kicking and screaming. They have to drag Paul into the synagogue. Right? He got saved. He started just going around to the places where he knew people that were spiritually bankrupt were, and he began to tell them how they can cash in spiritually and have the treasures of Christ. It's a wonderful way to live life. No matter where Paul went, no matter who he met, no matter what position they had, he would tell them basically two things. You need to know him, and you need to make him known. Brethren, that's the purpose of my life. God knows. I want that to be the purpose of my life. Now, I know him. I want to make him known. But I want to know him in a greater way. Even this man, if you'll turn over to chapter 3, even this man who said, "For to me to live is Christ," he said in chapter 3, he said, "I don't want to get satisfied. I don't want to get to the place of, well, I know what I know and I'm done." No, he said, "I want to keep growing. I want to keep advancing in my knowledge of Christ." And so he said in chapter 3 and verse number 10, "that I may know him." He didn't say that I do know him. He said, "I want to know him even greater. I want to know him deeper. I want to know him further, that I may know him. And I want to know him this way. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I even want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And I am being made willing to be made conformable unto his death." That's the way I want to know him. I'm all in for Jesus, Paul said. I'm all in for Jesus. Would to God that I could be all in for Jesus. Would to God that you could be. But I'm going to tell you something. Lord, we could blame it. Well, it's this and it's that. It's this and it's that. I don't know what it is for you. I do, but I'm not willing to say it. Well, I am too. It's me for me. And it's you for you. But I want you to make that decision. Don't say that because I said it. You have to get to the place for you where you realize it's me, preacher. I have to get to the place for me to where I realize it's me. It's me. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's a life. I want my life to count for Christ. When I go to work, I'm going to do my job. Why? Because Jesus is watching. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do it the best. Why? Because Jesus is watching. I'm doing it for Jesus. Come on, folks. We have a generation of people who have forgotten this. We're Christians. We bear the name of the greatest name under heaven and in heaven, the name of Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the greatest name in heaven and earth. And we live in that name. We represent that name. And all that we do, we ought to do for that name. Jesus. For to me to live is Christ. I want people to look at me and say, that must be a Christian. Amen. Not because of Dale Freeman. I don't want them to say, well, Dale Freeman's a good man. Baloney. I want to hear them say, Dale Freeman's Savior is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Dale Freeman, he's not the same. What happened to him? Jesus made a difference in his life. That Jesus of Dale Freeman. Listen, I'm not talking about the Jesus of the world. Understand something here. When Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, he wasn't talking about the Christ of the History Channel. Right. Now listen to me now. Right. He wasn't talking about the Christ of a lot of churches today. He wasn't talking about the Christ of the liberal mind, the figment of their imagination. They have somehow envisioned a Christ that is not the Christ, the one true and living Christ. When Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, he was speaking of the one true and living God that came in Christ Jesus, the Christ. Well, I tell you, we got a lot of folks today running around talking about this Christ. I know nothing about him. I know nothing about the Christ that I hear a lot of people talking about, because he's not the Christ of this book right here. What are you willing to die for? Young folks, one day you may have to answer this question, so I want you to listen very carefully. All right? Young folks in the back, listen to me now. You've got to live for something with purpose. Something you can put your passion into. And God help you and I as adults to put our passion into something and someone that these young people can aspire to when they look at it and say, I want to be just like that. I want to go even further in the things of Christ than him or than her. I want my life to count for Jesus. I believe many of you do. But I think if all of us were to be honest this morning, we could do better. And I'm not trying to throw some guilt trip on you. I'm just asking you to evaluate your own heart. There's a lot of detours. There's a lot of things that defer us and turn us and get us off course and cause us to lose our focus in life. Sometimes we have to just kind of refocus and realize what really matters in life. What really matters. For to me, to live is... Would you fill in that blank? It's my family, preacher. Well, that's a great thing, but that shouldn't be number one now. For to me to live is, well, I've been wanting that farmhouse. Well, there's nothing wrong with you wanting the farmhouse. That ought not to be what consumes your life. Well, now, for me to live is that I love water. I want a yacht. For to me to live, I'm just saving for that yacht. I'm just saving for retirement so I can just lay back and do nothing. Really? That's your life? You're working to a place to where you do nothing? That's not life. For to me to live is Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're 6, 7, 8, 70, 80, or 90. Let your life count for Jesus. You willing to die for it? The man who said this was, and did, as did the other apostles. They did. The things that you're willing to die for are the things that you're really living for. Let's stand to our feet. I wrote these notes.